My title today, I'm going to talk about prostate cancer screening and education program for low-income African-American men in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a collaborative partnership between Meharry Medical College, which is an academic health center with a healthcare for minority and underserved communities. And our main mission is to eliminate health disparities. Our partner organization is the Matthew Walker Comprehensive Health Center, which is just next door, about 3 or 4 blocks away from us. And they are a medical, dental, and diagnostic facility that serves the under and uninsured people. And a majority of the people they see are low-income African Americans. The topic, prostate cancer, is very everybody's familiar with the fact that this is a the most commonly diagnosed cancer in men. African-American men disproportionately bear this burden with the highest incidence rate in the whole world, 23% higher than their white counterparts. And they unfortunately have a twofold higher mortality than white men from this disease. And the main reasons for all of this, there are two proposed theories. One is that they usually present late, and we think that that is because of lack of access to healthcare. And a second group of people believe that there's a biological basis for this, and they think there's a gene environment susceptibility to the disease. But overall, the US prostate cancer statistics still shows that African American men have the highest incidence for prostate cancer, and that prostate cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths in the US. So, because African Americans are presenting late, we know and we believe that that is because they are not screening enough. They are not going for screening. And there's a lot of literature that confirms that particularly older African American men and the low-income men are the worst for this behavior. They don't get screened. The reason for this, for some studies, is that they have low knowledge about prostate cancer, or they have limited access to preventive health care, or that they have other competing priorities. So interventions have been, there are many interventions out there, like education programs that are trying to positively impact level of knowledge and attitude to early detection of cancer. Sometimes we think that the other side of the coin is that the physicians might not be proposing prostate screening or bringing that to the attention of the consumer. Also, there's the health insurance barrier. When people don't have health insurance, providers sometimes avoid telling them to do certain things if they know they can't pay for it. But we in the last 5 to 10 years, there have been a lot of prostate cancer campaigns and very many free programs out there, and some people have been enjoying these free screenings. But with recent controversy about the usefulness of prostate cancer screening, some of those free screenings at health fairs are no longer available. So therefore, one would have thought that there should really be no problem about screening for prostate cancer, but this slide from 2004 shows clearly that people without health insurance, the last three sets of slides, have the lowest rate for screening for prostate cancer. And people with less than high school education are the ones in the middle. They have lower screening rate than the general population. So this study, my study, was to try, the main goal was to try and improve prostate cancer screening behavior among non-compliant low-income African-American men. The aim is to improve the level of knowledge about prostate cancer, sort of impact their attitude towards early detection of cancer. So the objectives, there are four main ones. One is to evaluate their level of prostate cancer knowledge, identify the barriers to screening for prostate cancer, and then develop a culturally appropriate intervention using focus groups and using a community advisory board to come up with what they think is an intervention that will be acceptable to the to that population. And then, of course, at the end, evaluate the efficacy of this intervention. So the methods that we used were in two, part one and part two. Part one is we wanted to develop the intervention. So we used focus groups to look at the health issues and then use the transcriber to officially and unbiasedly transcribe what the focus group people had said. Then phase two, we develop the intervention, and again, we depend on a group of people selected in the community to do this. Phase three, we implement, and then phase four, we evaluate. So this is the way we got the community involved. So we had three 10-person focus groups. Focus group one were men 40 years and older who screened regularly, and they included three prostate cancer survivors. Focus group two were family members of African American men, so they were wives or partners, female and male children, and the youngest person in this group was 25. And then focus group three were men 35 and older who have never screened for prostate cancer. And from among these 30 people, we're able to select seven very active. We recognized seven people who were like very active during the focus group sessions. And then we invited two community leaders and one provider from the health center to form the community board. And of course, this is the flyer, and we had $45 to bring people in, because this was a 2 to 3 hour session in the evening. At the end of the focus group, the report that we got was that the focus group report as transcribed showed that there were five themes of barriers to screening. At the individual level, the doctor level, the health center level, the church level, family and friends, and we were surprised that the focus group people actually brought in a sixth theme, which was prostate cancer support group. They talked about that. So we were able to list the solutions that they proposed, and then we also asked them to describe the type of advertisements, the type of pictures they wanted on the brochure, and the type of statements they wanted us to include in our public announcement statements. And so we got all of that from the focus group. So all the things we got from the focus group was then presented to the community advisory board. They held three meetings 1 week apart. They had homework to go home and work on what they had to do. And they were the ones who came up with the fact that this is what they want the intervention to look like. And I'll show that in later. The pictures that we sort of got from people, they described to us that they wanted pictures that will depict African-American grandfather, father, and son in the same picture, showing the generation, because they thought that most people would relate to that, that we are not really talking to the man to take care of his life. We are telling him to take care of his life for the sake of the grandson who is going to come later. So the protocol, we plan to recruit 520 men using flyers and word of mouth. Then we had informed consent. We had a pre-intervention survey, which was 5 pages, looking at level of knowledge to prostate cancer and what they had done regarding screening in the past. And then we had a section on decisional conflict, which will not be addressed in the presentation today. Then there was the education intervention, then followed 3 months later by a post-intervention survey, which was just 2 pages, focusing again on just the knowledge aspect and what they had done between the time we saw them. So the intervention, I'm going to rush through all of this, and you can always look at it on the web page. They wanted a male navigator to do the intervention, and that's what we did. And so I'll run over to the results that we had. 539 men were enrolled, and 392 were followed up. That's 73% follow-up. They had less than high school education, mainly unemployed, 63%, and less than 25,000 household income, And we had a high number of single men even in this age group. Health insurance, only 60% were, 60% did not have health insurance. And I want to really show this graph shows that even those who earned 50,000 and above, more than 20% of them did not have health insurance. And this slide shows that although the unemployed were the highest group without health insurance, even the employed, up to 60%, did not have health insurance. The perceived barriers to screening were mainly health insurance and costs. And because of time, I'm going to rush and go to what happened when we compared pre-intervention with post-intervention. The rate of screening by PSA screening improved threefold altogether. Improved threefold, but improved the least among people with low level of education. So I'm going to just summarize because of time, and you can get the rest of the detail later. So we had 539 men. Knowledge about prostate cancer was excellent only in 22%, and good in 52%, and poor in 26%. The major perceived barriers to screening, as we said, was health insurance, lack of health insurance. The education intervention was very successful. The average score out of 21 questions increased from 13.3 to 15. And as I said, PSA screening increased threefold. And the most important predictor of prostate cancer screening was post-intervention level of prostate cancer knowledge. And the impact of our intervention appeared to be highest in the group that earned above $50,000 a year. That amount of that income is household income. And they had an increase, sixfold increase in screening. But the impact was lowest among men with less than high school education. And it was, and they, at the end of everything, they still recorded less than 50% screening. So the lessons learned from this project was that the community-based research, community-based participatory research approach is a very good way of coming up with an intervention that is suitable for a group of people, and that it appears as if we need more than one education intervention to really have a proper impact. So our future research plan will be to modify our protocol a little bit, and I will leave that alone and quickly talk about my policy implication, because that's the part that concerned me the most. Looking at men with 50,000 and above who could not afford screening means that eligibility criteria for Medicaid is too tight. As of now, it's only people who are 200% above the poverty level who will qualify for Medicaid. And we are sort of proposing that that level should be increased to about 400% poverty level. We also think that federal funds for annual physicals should be made available, and these annual physicals should include PSA and DRE screening for prostate cancer. We also think that federal funds should be made available for resolving abnormal screening results, because after screening, any of the people who have anything abnormal will need to go for prostate biopsy, and that is not cheap. And if they don't have health insurance, they cannot afford it. And of course, finally, health insurance companies should cover the cost of PSA and DRE for men 40 years and above. So I'd like to thank my partners at Meharry Medical Center, at Matthew Walker Health Center, and also from Vanderbilt, we have a urologist. And I had a lot of input from students from Fisk University who were with us for 2 years summer program, and also community participators from churches who helped as our community navigators. Thank you.